We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Doors, fire away.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, it's a Wu-Tang Wednesday, y'all.
Good open. Now, let's get to content.
Let's get some content. The conversation, it's wrong and it's out of line. I'm with Dibs on this one. Same house, same garage, same thinking chair. You build your lineup to, you know, to handle the park. Your pitching is strong, and it's a home field advantage. You've got other people coming in, and they're not building their lineup to AT&T. And lo, what's more exciting than winning a World Series? They went to four of them in the last 20 years, won three of them, and in the same park. So you build your lineup to handle the park. And Travis Ishikawa, left-handed hitter, hit one out in 2014, sent us to the World Series. So before I go, Lo, I am with you on Quinnen Williams. We're same soup, same bowl, same spoon.
Good work. I mean, he really touched on just about everything there with good content to mix. Good call, Bab. We appreciate it.
I want people to understand the difference. And with all due respect, Daniel, I think there is a huge difference between excitement and happiness. You say, I'm happy. If I'm saying, oh, I'm happy at the game. No, I'm excited. Excitement is home runs. That's excitement. And that's what I'm talking about when you're talking about excitement. That's why if the ballpark, if it's hitter friendly, it's more exciting. You say, man, I was happy at the game. No, I was excited. That was an exciting game. That's the difference. And when you're talking about the Super Bowl, yeah, they were happy they won a Super Bowl, but was it an exciting game? And sometimes that's the difference that I'm trying to get you to understand, Mr. Dibley. I'm not saying winning. I get it. Winning, yeah, you're absolutely happy. But the excitement in baseball is about the hit and the long ball.
Why is there a home run derby?
This is a baseball conversation. Baseball should not involve yelling. You're right. I'm not going to sit here and absorb any more of this nonsense.
It's nonsense?
It's nonsense because if you're a true baseball fan, you're not sitting there waiting for the home run. You're watching the nuance of the 6-4-3 double play, the safety squeeze that the Giants pulled off yesterday. And oh, by the way, panic safe at first because it was smart, small ball. You're watching for a guy going first to third. Buster Posey throwing out a stolen base attempt. All these things are a part of why you watch baseball. You don't just sit there with your hands underneath your thighs waiting for some palooka to hit it 480 feet. So I resent the portrayal of what is exciting. And to your point about the Super Bowl, that game was riveting. If you like defense and a good old-fashioned punt and good old-fashioned hang time, you were thrilled by that football game.
Did you honestly feel that way?
That was a good game.
You're making a good case.
It was exciting.
But did you feel that way? Okay.
No, it was more exciting than a game that would be 27-0.
Like the Broncos Seahawks Super Bowl, where there was a safety and it was like a 40-point blowout?
First snap, Peyton Manning misses the ball or goes whizzing by him or off his helmet, and the game was over. That game was not exciting.
Okay, fair points.
So just on that note, though, those fans that love baseball for all those idiosyncrasies of the game, they're already in the seats. It's the other fans, the casual fans that they're trying to get out there. And somebody who actually agrees with Lowe's, Bruce Bochy, in this piece, he actually says, if Triple's Alley would be a great place for the bullpens, and personally, I think if you hit a ball 400 feet, it should be a home run.
This is a tough spot, Dibs, because now you're not only against Lowe, you're also against Bochy, and he's beloved.
Yeah, but he
also
won't,
it was his birthday yesterday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Boch. But he won't be there to manage if and when this happens. And one of the beauties of Oracle Park is the aesthetic of it. And if you put a secondary fence, first of all, you're not going to be able to move the brick facade in. You're talking about, 10, 20 feet? That's part of the ballpark. So now you're talking about building a secondary fence, and it's going to look like the fence in Bad News Bears Breaking Training when they went to the Houston Astrodome and they put the Little League fence out in front of the Big League fence. It's an embarrassment. It's an abomination. And if the Giants want to go that route, it's on you when there's backlash.
I believe in architect. I believe that people can make things nice. And just because
Frank Gehry.
And you can look at Soldier Field. You can look at certain people can renovate certain things.
Soldier Field is an abomination.
Now look.
Wow.
Now look, there are examples out there, and I'm not going to bust your point up. That's not the example you want. That thing looks terrible.
No, please go on about Soldier Field.
No, there are others. There was a renovation to Lambeau Field. It looks nice. There are renovations to college football stadiums where they add on. Your point is accurate. Your example is not. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Because I can't stand by and let you say Soldier
Field
looks
good.
Tell
me more about Soldier Field. Would you please?
It's a damn spaceship, but like a bootleg spaceship.
I used the wrong spot on that one.
Man.
Ten rounds
and you knocked yourself out. You cut yourself right there.
It's official retraction.
The part that you're wrong about, that when you're saying, yes, you want to see the squeeze play and all those different things, that would still take place. Because if you're hitting a home run deep like that, the ball ain't a squeeze play. It's not no friggin' Buster Posey. Still be able to make that bullet throw. All those things would still be a part of the game. I did not take away from that. I'm just saying the reason why they're thinking about it, it's not necessarily predicated on wins. My point that I'm making, it was predicated on excitement. And that's what people are into. They're into the long ball. Don't sit here and patronize me. But he can't patronize me and say that. Then why did Major League change the ball?
Find them during the break.
Why?
We'll stream it on Instagram.
Old Soldier Field. That's all I have to say.
Why are the balls wind tighter?
We will come back. Look, the phone lines are popping. The phone lines are popping. You guys got everyone worked up. The phone lines are popping. 888-957-9570.
I'm a Soldier Field.
Do you agree with Dibs that the park should stay the way it is? Or do you agree with Lowe? It's time for some more excitement. Make it more hitter friendly. 888-957-9570. All that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. We are coming to you next. I want to know who you side with, Lowe or Dibs. 888-957-9570. And for more, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Tire Pros. The Giants are considering moving the outfield fences at Oracle Park. We just talked about it. Now, since the ballpark opened in 2000, San Francisco has hit fewer homers at their home field than any other Major League team. Will this help the team? Joe Lowe and Dibs will talk to someone who actually played on the field, former Giant Rich Aurelia. He'll join the show at 8:30, and we want to hear from you. That's coming up next. G-Men, we're at Nationals Park and knocked three last night. Duggar, Longoria, and Belt all went yard in their 7-3 victory over Washington. A birthday gift from manager Bruce Bochy, Nationals closer, and former A Sean Doolittle will hop on the show this morning at 9:35. The A's struggled in a 9-1 loss to the Astros. On to the NBA, we learned that Warriors' DeMarcus Cousins has a torn quad. The injury will sideline him indefinitely. He will begin rehab immediately. What does Golden State's future look like without Boogie? Well, Anthony Slater from The Athletic will let the guys know this morning at 9:10. Game 3 against the Clippers is tomorrow at Staples Center. Listen to all Warriors playoff action right here on 95.7 The Game. And NFL schedules will be released today at 5, so stay lock on 95.7 The Game for any updates. I'm Anna Kagadakis on 95.7 The Game.
Hayward Tire Pros is always your number one draft pick when it comes to tires and automotive service, alignments for your car's tight end, and premium tires like Continental and General, and Road Force balancing for those unsatisfying vibrations. Select the best. Hayward Tire Pros.
Coming up today on The Game, Joe Lowe and Dibs talk a little Giants baseball with Rich Aurelia at 8:30, followed by our Warriors insider Anthony Slater at 9:10. And don't miss the name game on the Damon Bruce Show at 6 on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Sponsored by Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Visit their magnificent 25,000 square foot showroom and find more at friedmansappliance.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Wu-Tang you're listening to. It's a Wu-Tang Wednesday. That's a new thing around here, so get on board. Wu-Tang Wednesday.
Wu-Tang.
That's what I was talking about. That's the one. Wu-Tang Wednesday, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Now, it's not just a Wu-Tang Wednesday, but it's also a Warriors Wednesday, which is brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Trust name in the Bay Area since 1922. We've got a lot to get to today, okay? This is the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our Wu-Tang engaged listening audience, because we love you and because this is going to be a big show. Now, your guests for the rest of the way out, Rich Aurelia at 8:30, Anthony Slater at 9:10, Sean Doolittle, good friend of the program, 9:35. We're going to get into some football because the schedule is going to be released tonight, 5 p.m. NFL Network. We got this Warriors game we got to start looking ahead to. We got the latest on Boogie Cousins and what it means for the roster over the rest of the playoffs. But we're on the story from Andrew Baggerly and Grant Brisby of The Athletic that the Giants are finally considering the idea of making the ballpark more hitter-friendly. How that would work currently is as follows. The bullpens, which are currently in foul territory, would be moved to Triples Alley. That would create a new fence in which you would be more inclined to hit home runs at that area of the ballpark. So it's not going to be this massive overhaul where all the fences are coming in, and it's not going to be what San Diego and Philadelphia did with their parks, which was just move the home plate out, right? It would simply be creating a new space in the outfield in which it would be easier to hit a ball over a fence. Do you want to see this? Dibs is adamant. No. Go out and build your roster better. Lowe likes the idea of trying to make the game more exciting for the fans as attendance continues to dwindle. Farhan Zaidi spoke about this and said, quote, "We're a long way from having real traction and momentum on this issue, so there would be a lot more we have to do. Objectively, how would it impact the type of game played in our park? We'd want to look at how it would affect us organizationally now and going forward. But at this point, for practical issues like the bullpens or broader long-range philosophical or strategic issues about where the game is going, I think we're at least opening up the discussion on it." You do not like this.
Don't like it at all. And I'm just trying to picture what it would be like if it's out in Triples Alley and you have both bullpens there. So basically, you're creating an additional fence. I don't think you changed the right field fence down the line. So how do you get from where you are in the dugout out to the bullpen? Do you have to go out down the right field line, out of the stadium, and then back in?
You'd be already starting out there. You would do what they do in Philadelphia and some other parks that have the bullpens in the outfield. The bullpen's out there to start the game. They're out there the whole game, and then you get called in. So you're not going to leave the dugout and run down like they currently
do.
You're just going to start out there. So you're going to be on your own island.
That's another strike for me, the idea that you have to be...
If there's a hit batsman and Puig wants to get into a fight, you have to come sprinting out from the outfield.
And what if you want to pinch run? If you're a guy like Derek Holland, who's already pinch run this year, now you got to be in the dugout before. You got to run in to go pinch run. You grab your helmet. To me, that the logistics of it is already a bit of a nightmare. Additionally, I like the idea of bullpens on the field. And I'm sorry that Mac Williamson got a concussion, but you know it's there. I liked the old hill in Houston, an Enron field, back when before they took the hill out.
Cal's Hill.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah
something
Thank
with
you,
the
Anna.
T. Very good memory.
I've great memory there. And I like that. A little bit of a different obstacle, you know, and what you said earlier, every ball field is different. Some places you gotta deal with a high wall in Fenway. And in AT&T or now Oracle Park, you've got the right field fence. It's special.
The ivy at Wrigley?
I like it. It's unique. Keep it unique. Don't make the ballpark an eyesore.
Interesting. Interesting. Dibs is all for obstacles. Perhaps a windmill at second base you have to slide through.
Right. That'd be nice, huh, Dibs? That'd be the one exciting for you. There's some guys. Judge, Harper, Goldsmith, Williams, Trout, Stanton. Guess what? Newsflash, Dibs. They're in the contract. They're not coming here. Those are long ball hitters. Probably doesn't matter the stadium in. They probably can do it, okay? So, you know, Chris Davis, maybe next year. But so to me, you look at a lot of these guys, they're brought on team not just to win, but they're brought on teams to hit the long ball. And when I'm talking about this, I get the fact that you're saying win. I understand people want to win. But people want to be entertained and they want excitement. And something about the home run ball brings excitement, brings everyone to the yard. And if you think about what's going on, I'm talking about in Major League Baseball, they keep talking about now even there's other things about the balls are even wound tighter. Pitchers are talking about, you know, they're getting the blisters on their hand. It's for a reason. So I understand bringing in the fences doesn't necessarily going to mean that they win, but it's going to also help with the excitement level.
Well, if you're going to lose, I'd like to see you lose 9-8, right?
There
are some games, some shootout games where at the end you come up short, but you think, man, that's going to be easy to talk about on the radio the next day.
It's exciting.
You lose 3-1 and it's like, here we go again. You know, it's just they couldn't get the bats going. Like, it's tough to say that.
That's all.
94 times a year. Although they have been playing quite well as of late. Give them credit. They got the bats going yesterday on Boch's birthday, hammered the Nationals 7-3, much to my dismay.
Yeah.
As I laid the 1.5. Bet 162. the next installment of my losing streak coming up at 9:45.
I don't think that moving the fences in is the cure-all for a team that is less than exciting. And you could look at previous years, and I've already run down some of the campaigns. Rich Aurelio, who joins us in about an hour, hit 37 home runs playing at that same ballpark with the same dimensions. Pilar has come in and lit it up. He's showed that a guy who has, wait for it, power can hit home runs even at Oracle Park. So for me, bringing the fences in doesn't solve your biggest problem, which is you've got a lineup full of Punch and Judy. Those guys are still going to be Punch and Judy. If you bring the fence in, Brandon Belt's not going to be a 40 or 50 home run guy. He's still going to be a guy who's going to hit you 15 to 20.
No. Here's where I differ again, and with all due respect, Daniel.
You don't have to say that. You don't have to have respect.
Because clearly you don't have any. So go ahead and save the exhale and just get right to the point.
I've seen so many times where these Belt, Posey, a lot of these guys hit right to the fence, right
Crawford's
to the wall.
The king. Crawford loses two or three a year by
Absolutely.
Putting it right on the wall.
Right on the wall. And now you're sitting here saying that these guys wouldn't hit four to five more home runs? I beg to differ.
You want to hear from the people?
Yes.
The phone lines are juiced. Let's bring the people in. The first one I'm going to, I don't know if it's chronological, but it just says agrees with Lowe. Mm. Let's start there. Tim in San Jose. Tim, welcome to the show. The floor is yours. What do you think? Should the Giants move the fences in?
I don't think they should. I mean, you know, I'm just reverting back to Barry Bonds. When he was breaking all those records hitting home runs, nobody went to the games because they thought they were going to win the World Series that year. They went there because they wanted to see Barry Bonds crank out home run balls and break records. So, I mean, I'd have to agree with Lowe on this one. Hey, Lowe, just so you know, I'm the guy who you signed a football for at the agony of defeat. Still got that ball, got it mounted up, looks real pretty in my house, man.
My man, remember you, brother. Good chatting with you.
Guy makes no sense. He agrees with Dibs, but then says
agrees
with Lowe.
No, he agreed with the excitement.
So he wants excitement, but keep the fences out.
Yeah, he was
that's agreeing with this. That's what we all want.
He was saying Barry Bonds, people didn't go to watch them win. He was saying for the excitement to go watch Barry Bonds.
But he also said he didn't want the fences moved.
And
it's ridiculous. He just wanted to pander to you for signing that football.
Without a doubt.
And terrible.
If he would have looked at the attendance figures, you'd find that the Giants' best years of home attendance are when they, wait for it, when they win. So as much as people do like to see home runs, yes, when they're a dynasty and they win 3 in 5 years and you're averaging 3.2 million fans a year, it's easy to see why. It's not necessarily because of the home run prowess in those years. It's because they were winners. We all want winners. Not only Mike Singletary, but Giants fans as well.
Yeah, it was interesting when Sammy Sosa and Big Mark McGuire was hitting home runs. Nobody was. Yeah, you're right.
Well, let's look at it like this, too.
You're right, Daniel.
Home runs lead to winning, do they not? How much of a factor do they play? Just going back last year. So it's a very small sample size. But last year, the number one team in terms of home runs was the Yankees. They were in the playoffs. Number two, the Dodgers. They were in the World Series. Number three, the A's. They were in the playoffs. Number four, Milwaukee. They were in the NLCS. Number five, Toronto. It didn't really work out for them.
Toronto.
But, you know, there's always an outlier. Number six, Cleveland. They won the division. Number seven, the Angels. They still exist. And then Colorado. They were in the playoffs, weren't they? Didn't the Rockies get in last year?
Yeah.
Either way, they had a good season. Yeah. And then number nine, Boston, and number 10, Houston, your last two World Series champions. So if home runs lead to winning, and again, this is a small sample size. This is just 1 year. But if you win games in baseball now by hitting more home runs, more so than we've seen in the past, wouldn't you want to change the park so that you could have more home runs, possibly win more games, and then thus solve all of our issues by putting more butts in the seats and adding more excitement to the product?
I don't think that's the straight line answer. That's not a straight line solution because you still have a lineup of guys who don't hit home runs. Joe Panik homered in the opener last year, and he hit two or three more the entire year. And Brandon Crawford's not a guy who's going to go from 12 to 15 homers to 30 just because you bring the fence in by 30 feet out in right center. These guys are still not good enough. You mentioned all those teams. Each of those teams has not one, not two, but three or four legitimate power bats. This lineup has maybe one. I'll give you Brandon Belt, and you're winning our little bet 4-2 on home runs.
No surprise.
That swung. Longoria hit that home run early, and then it was like, yeah, Lowe's going to get crushed here, and then he didn't hit another one until yesterday.
Yeah, they both homered yesterday, so that's good for Belt. Belt with four, Pilar with four.
Did you ever actually put stakes on it? Not literal
stakes,
but...
lunch. Lunch
it's
anywhere, yeah, anywhere in the city that he so desires.
With Link. Hot Link. Yeah.
Link, you're going to have a Lincoln Kennedy. Like,
that's perfect. Exactly. Link, I mean lunch.
Yeah. You know what, Dan, and just as you just walk me through this and kind of, and this is kind of where I'm going. There's a lot of press corners, used to be lockdown corners that played in the National Football League, but now because of the fact you can't press after 5 yards, a lot of those guys can't play. There's a lot of things when you're talking about, even in the association in basketball, you used to be able to hand chuck and do a lot of things. Those days are gone. What did they do? They allowed teams to have more freedom to shoot the three ball. They wanted the long ball, football. They put the onus on the offense. They took it off the. They said, okay, defense, we're going to take away a lot of things to why, to increase excitement, decrease inside. It's not just in baseball that I'm talking about this. I'm talking about this in all the sports. You see the leeway that people want to be entertained. We live in a world now, unfortunately, I understand, I always say offense entertains and defense wins championships, but we're in a world now where people want excitement. And unfortunately for some, because the old way used to be they love a defensive game, 1-0 in baseball, and a defensive game, 7-3, football, those things were, that used to be what people want. But it's no longer desired. And MLB understands that. They're winding the balls tighter. You see them thinking about, the Giants are thinking about moving in the infield. Why? 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 Why?
All right, that's, we get it. There's also who, what, when.
Where?
Yeah. Where, and sometimes how.
Yeah.
So we got it. The why, big question. Let's go to the people. Let's see what the people
Good
want.
Good Lord.
We're going to do surveys for the Giants. We're going to do your market research for you, Giants. You don't have to send us anything or, you know, thank us publicly or anything. It's us just trying to help people out. Oh, yeah. There's LT up on TV.
Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a great.
I got to change the channel.
Yeah.
Don't. Why? Why would you?
I don't want it distracting you because then you're watching yourself on TV. I need full load today. You're doing a great job. You're zeroed in. Let's go to the people. Adil in Fremont. Adil, thank you for the phone call. What should the Giants do? Should they move the fences in or should they keep the park the way it is?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm in the same church and pew as Shaquille O'Neal, Barack Obama, Lostradamus.
Thank you, Obama.
Bring the fences in. I want to see home runs. It's about two things, fan experience and ratings. Home runs means butts in the seats, means numbers for the teams. If you look at the crown jewels of baseball, Fenway and Wrigley, they've made efforts to modernize the stadiums. If you look at the Marlins Park, they got rid of that obstrosity in center field.
Wow.
You've seen Marlin. If you look at Mount Davis in Oakland, I thought that was a mistake for the fan experience. So bring the fences in. Let's get some home runs and get juice back, too. Thank you, guys.
All right, appreciate the phone call.
That was deeply fraudulent because Fenway, they haven't changed the dimensions. Pesky pole is still pesky pole, and it's been there for 100-something years. So, yeah, they put seats on top, and they enhanced the fan experience, but they didn't change the fences. And then he used an example, much like Lowe's Soldier Field reference. He talked about Mount Davis, which was an abomination. And again, they didn't change the dimensions. They just built a giant bleacher out there. So for him to say that they need to move the fences in because it's more exciting. As a Giant team, you've hit 13 home runs right now, third to last in baseball. You've got the best team, Seattle, 42 home runs. It's not a ballpark issue.
Not the best team, by the way. Not
the best in hitting home runs.
They just got boated by Houston.
They
Houston
did.
Rolled right. up there and boated them on their right. home turf. I have to make that clear. Your point's
I meant
still
the
valid.
Best in
Record
home run
does.
Hitting.
Yes.
The leaders in home run hitting. It's a lineup issue. It's not a ballpark issue, people.
888-957-9570. Okay. Larry, San Francisco. Larry, welcome
Larry.
To the show. The floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Well, we're doing a radio show, and we're also having some conversation, so we're bringing you into that, Larry.
Hey, listen, I'm like this. It doesn't matter whether they don't move it in or don't bring it in. Baseball's going to still be exciting. It's more to baseball than just a guy come to the plate and hit a home run. How about a pitcher that throws a no-hitter? That's not exciting. How about the triple play? That's not exciting, huh? How about a play at the plate? That's not exciting.
Thank you.
This is what makes baseball so exciting. More than just a guy who's going to come. And it suddenly moves the fifth in. So all of a sudden, here comes Joe Blow. He throws a no-hitter. Guess what? That's pretty exciting to me. I mean, I love baseball. It's been my first sport when I ever, you know, learned to play sports. And as far as football goes, if you watched last year's Super Bowl, you didn't think that was exciting when New England had three shots at fourth and, third and one and fourth and one and didn't make it by the Rams' defense. With that, I'm out.
Well
done,
Larry.
That's a good call, Larry. Mm-hmm. Really good call right there. Last year's Super Bowl was exciting. For me, generally, it's about the anthem. It wasn't exciting as the anthem, but it was exciting. And that might just be me. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. Why does it feel like baseball is the sport that is the least resistant, or I should say the most resistant to change, right? Like, you added the three-point line in basketball. I'm sure there was resistance there. And guys like Greg Popovich still talk about how they don't like the three-pointer. But by and large, it's probably been better for the game. It's probably made the game more exciting. You know, you work your way around the different sports. The NFL is consistently tinkering with its rules in an effort to create more scoring because, in their opinion, more scoring leads to more eyeballs, leads to more excitement. And that leads to more revenue. And if the NFL is doing it, you probably want to pay attention because, while you might not agree with all their business practices, they are quite successful. Hockey is tinkered with trying to find a way to increase scoring. You'll notice this year for the degenerate gamblers in the house, betting first period overs in hockey has been a highly lucrative practice all throughout the year. The scoring through the roof in the first periods, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. So the point is, you talk about it in baseball, I don't think we're talking about a massive architectural change to Oracle. It's really just Triple's Alley. It's really just bringing that in and putting the bullpens behind it, which could be interesting. You still leave the wall. By and large, everything's still intact. The one knock on this is, what does it do to history? Remember, Matt Cain doesn't have his perfect game without Triple's Alley.
Correct.
That's something that you'd have to wrestle with. Are you really going to make an adjustment that when you're watching highlights of that game, that gem, down the line, it's, wait a minute, that's not, your kid looks at you, that's not what the park looks like now. Well, let me tell you about when they brought the fences in to try to generate more excitement.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough situation to wrestle
after
with.
After 6 straight years of not having any real power, they decided instead of addressing the product and getting more hitting, they decided to move the fences in. But, oh, by the way, newsflash to all you fence movers, other team has the same dimensions.
Daniel.
And the other team is going to hit more home runs. So maybe it's, ooh, more exciting. Look, mommy, fireworks, a blue one and a red one. You're still going to have the other team hitting home runs. So if your product isn't that good, it doesn't matter if you move the fences in. If you still don't have good hitters, you're not going to hit enough home runs to make it matter.
Duh, that's what I've been saying. I said it's about excitement. It's not about winning. It's interesting. And you guys, and you sit here, Dan, you say, oh, well, they did this in basketball. And all the thing. Here's the thing you have to realize. People talk about what Jordan had played in this era, now the hand check or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's always for debate. It's just so we can sit and say, oh, well, this is going to change, and how is this going to affect history? It gives you the conversation, and that's what people go, oh, well, this happened there, and that's the reason why. I get it. I understand you don't want to change. I understand you saying, oh, no. I'm just telling you, it's not necessarily about winning. It's about the excitement. And you can sit and chat with me until you're blue in the face. You can't sit here and tell me that the AFC Championship game did not yield you more excitement than the Super Bowl. And those are just facts. It was, that game was exciting. And that's all I'm saying. I understand the point that you're making about moving in the fence. All I'm saying, it's not going to necessarily yield more wins, but it will yield more
what
excitement.
It will do, it will be defacing a beautiful ballpark with some cockamamie, hokey cyclone fence.
I don't think it'd be that hokey. The way it's just going to be Triple's Alley coming in and creating the bullpens out there, which if they did a two-layered bullpen like you have in Philadelphia or some of these other places, it could look kind of cool.
What's the fence going to be? It's going to be another brick wall? Is it going to be some cockamamie cyclone fence with green netting over it?
Why do you keep saying cyclone fence?
Right.
Is there such a thing as a cyclone fence? Or is that just...
No, it's the cyclone fence. It's the fence with the that goes crisscross all the way through. And has
that's called a cyclone fence?
Make you jump.
I believe so.
Oh, nice.
Cyclone fence? Anyone?
Nice.
Anyone in the back?
No,
you guys never climbed a fence?
Yeah, but we don't know the names of the specific fences as we
There's your white picket fence. There's your cyclone fence.
Learn something new today.
As you stare at me
third
about
type?
Climbing a
I'm
fence,
looking for
dude.
Top rope to either confirm or deny.
Barbed wire fence, maybe?
That's a different kind of fence.
At the top of the fence. Yeah. The fence isn't barbed wire. No. It's just at the top of the fence.
Right.
Cockamamie cyclone fence.
Yeah, that's very nice. Okay, so we got three types of fences.
A lot of fences.
You mentioned
shout
fireworks.
Out fences, by the way, with Mahershala Ali. Anyway. No, it was Denzel Washington. Anyway, fences.
Oh, yeah. That. Yeah.
Academy Award winner from a couple years ago.
Fences.
Fences. Real pick-me-up. Real heartwarming tale. It's a comedy, right?
Apparently not. You mentioned fireworks the other night. We never touched on this. So Friday night, I'm sleeping. It sounds like damn gunshots are going off in the neighborhood. Yeah. And I wake up and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. It's fireworks night. It's just the fireworks. It's no big deal. And then I'm thinking to myself, what the hell time is it? And I look down and it's past one because I didn't stay up for the end of the Giants game because newsflash, damn thing went 18 innings.
Oh, wow.
So it's fireworks night. It goes 18 innings, which is the ultimate bad luck scenario because fireworks bring people to the park, but you're not going to hang around for an additional 3 hours to get to the 18th inning. Right. But you can't not shoot off the fireworks, so they shoot off the fireworks and get the whole neighborhood. The whole neighborhood's upset at them right now.
Oh, man.
The whole neighborhood. Not me, because I understand the scenario. You can't promise fireworks, get people there, and not give them their fireworks. But it's baseball. It can go on infinitely. So this thing goes on 18 innings. They shoot them off at 1 a.m. The whole neighborhood gets upset. That's what we're dealing with down there right now.
Wow.
So what happened with city ordinance and everything? Do they have
I don't know.
An issue
That's great
they
question.
They override it, I guess?
Great question. You'd imagine that if they don't shoot off the fireworks, you're going to have a lot of people who are upset. People love their fireworks.
Except
it
yeah.
really
hang
draws
that long?
People to the park. When I worked in minor league baseball, you have a firework night, you're selling out. People are showing up. They love the fireworks.
It's 10 o'clock down there in San Diego, Joe. You know that. Over by SeaWorld, if you live in that area.
I did.
It's fireworks every night.
Fireworks there, plus you're under the flight path.
Right, right.
San Diego's a noisy town.
Very noisy, Daniel.
As we try to bring it back to the idea of whether or not the Giants should move the fences in, I did not think it was going to be this split. I was of the impression that most people wanted the fences moved in for more home runs. But to your point, Dibs, you need the lineup to hit the home runs. And if you move the fences in, that's great. You have 81 home games where you're dealing with those fences, but that's also 81 home dates where the opposing team's dealing with those fences. Case in point, we mentioned the teams that hit a lot of home runs last year, and we talked about how it led to success. Okay, maybe Oracle hurt the Giants. Maybe it hurt them from a home run standpoint. Let's see how they mashed on the road. Oh, look, wait, they ranked 29th in road home runs last year. They hit 73 home runs on the road. That was 29th. One spot behind Cincinnati, one spot ahead of, wait for it, Tom Selleck, the Detroit Tigers. Magnum P.I., the Detroit Tiger. Hat.
Strong.
Those are dating that reference.
So 73 road homers, and they hit 60 at home then because they had 133 on the season.
Yeah.
And you're telling me it's a ballpark issue?
So you left the park and you still didn't hit home runs.
You exploded for 13 more home runs over 81 games, which is a homer for every basically six games. So every six games on the road, your plucky little lineup, and I said it with a P, lucky little lineup as well, you hit one homer for every six games. Big whoop-de-doo. It's a lineup issue. Leave the ballpark alone and find some hitters.
Now, the argument from Brandon Belt, though, is that they're used to hitting one certain way at Oracle Park, so that way it's hard to kind of switch it up when you go to another park, so that's where that kind of
goes. Yeah, Belt's used to hitting 240 and maybe getting the 15 home run. That's what he's used to. Move him in, the guy starts mashing 30 a year, suddenly he'll be really excited about hitting that. Crawford's the guy that stands to benefit the most, quite frankly. I haven't been to a ton of games lately, but it always seems like when I'm there, he hits the damn fence. It seems like every time he's the guy that's 1 foot short. And Bochy brought this up, the idea that if you hit a ball 400 feet, that should be a home run. You shouldn't have to worry about a 400-foot shot not leaving the park.
And how much more trade value would these guys have, Mr. Daniel, believe you, in your opinion?
Okay, that's an interesting point there.
Yeah, and I think
it's like a golf handicap. You could have a great golf handicap if you're playing local munis every single day. But if every day you're out there trying to make your way around Spyglass, your handicap's going to be a little bit
worse.
You
know that, man.
Shout out Contra Costa Country Club where I hung a 96 yesterday. So,
you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. We went out there with a great Derek P track. Thanks to all the good people out there in Martinez, Pleasant Hill, Concord.
What is this, an Emmy? What are you thanking people for a round of golf?
I'd like to thank Dawn for hanging with me when I hit that ground ball in 13.
How do you immediately launch into a bunch of
thank
yous?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd
like to thank, I'd like to thank Chanita and the 19th hole for the very scrumptious vodka cran. Actually, you were brought up. They want to have you out there. But now that we're at odds over this topic, I don't think I'm ready to spend
time
with you.
He's knuckle deep in Game of Thrones. He hit a milestone episode last night.
He did.
I think it was like episode 7. He was really broken up about what happened. He came in this morning all disheartened.
All right.
He's like, I don't know if I can stick this thing out. It's like, you're in season 1. He goes, well, they did my guy dirty.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about it in case people are jumping
in. It's a bad beat. It's a tough road loss for your boy.
We're going to do a Game of Thrones lowdown after the show.
I love it. I look forward to that.
It's hilarious, the idea that this guy's recapping Game of Thrones, but like 10 years too late.
It's incredible.
He's doing episodes that aired 10 years ago.
Next week, Lowe talks about Hill Street Blues.
Wu-Tang Wednesday. It's not Game of Thrones Wednesday.
Right. It's Game of Thrones
Wu-Tang
every day.
Wednesday. Game of Thrones gets plenty of coverage on this show. Wednesdays are for Wu-Tang Clan.
I would like to address your point about trade value because I think it's an interesting one.
Good point.
And ultimately, if you look at these guys, if Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt had dramatically different road-home splits, I think there'd be more merit to that.
Yeah.
But and I haven't looked at the numbers. I'm sure Anna's ready to top rope us with that. They're not doing that much better on the road. It's not like Crawford's going out and hitting 17 road homers and only two at home. So I don't think it really affects the trade value that much.
Let's spin it another way, though, to your point. You're talking about sending guys out because of the fences being moved in and generating more home runs. What about attracting home run hitters to your park? Mm. What has been one of the biggest problems in trying to get Giancarlo Stanton and Bryce Harper to Oracle? Now, granted, state taxes always come up. That's one. Not in order, but that's one. Number two is the idea that you're not exactly playing for a contender right now. But number three is, if you want to be a Hall of Famer, an All-Star, if you want to hit your bonuses and all that good stuff, this isn't going
to
be the place where you're going to mash 40 a year. Now, Harper goes to Citizens Bank in Philly. He can mash 40. Here, it's going to be that much more challenging, especially for the left-handed hitters who know what they're up against, right?
Right.
So the idea of attracting players to the park by bringing in the fence, that could be a win right there, Dips.
That could be tough. That could be, and that's definitely a factor when you look at it, although I don't know if Giancarlo Stanton turned his back on this organization because of the fences. Yeah, he had other things in mind.
That's probably why.
Yeah, it's probably why. You're going to go ahead and just project that out because you've seen right-hand hitters really struggle here. Guys like, oh, I don't know, Rich Aurelia, who joins us at 8:30, when he hit 37 home runs, that probably was a mighty struggle for him, wasn't it?
And he's making wide now, so, you know, he's got it figured out.
And the reason why he hit so many home runs in part is because they had, wait for it, a good lineup. You had protection in the lineup, such players as Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds. So this lineup, you've got no bat that you fear. Apologies to Steven Duggar and his surprising pop from yesterday. But this lineup is not feared, so guys aren't protected, which makes it harder on everybody.
But to Joe's point, that's what he's saying. And a lot of players are saying, they're actually saying that it's not a hitter-friendly park. So if guys are saying that and alluding to that, if you did make some of these changes, that would probably change the way people view it. You did admit that earlier, 15-20 seconds ago, and thank you for doing that. And that's the only point that I'm trying to make. Guys understand, and a lot of guys, you believe it or not, some of them, they get nervous about certain things, and they do care about their career, and they care about how they're going to look and how they're viewed, and if they're going to be able to hit more home runs, and that goes into consideration. Daniel, for you to think not elsewhere that it doesn't, then that's wrong of you, and you know that.
And also, it's out of line.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be the natural progression?
Normally, it is. He's a little off his game right now.
Let's go to the people. Someone that agrees with Dibs. Jason in San Francisco. Jason, welcome to the show. Thank you for your time. The floor is yours. Fire when ready.
Morning, guys. I want to call in and just say the Giants lineup is terrible. The problem is the contracts and the lack of talent. And just to debunk a few of the things that have come up, from my opinion at least, Giancarlo Stanton and Bryce Harper, if you look, they didn't necessarily go for a field. Both teams they chose have current contending teams, but also young talent. They set themselves up for their futures. And on top of that, as far as the trade value, I mean, these teams don't run like a 14-year-old's fantasy football or fantasy baseball team. They've run the analytics. They know how many home runs these guys would hit in their ballparks before they trade for them.
Thank you.
So to say, like, oh, you know, if they got, you know, 10 more home runs in this stadium, they would already know that. They'd already run that analytics, and they would know if they traded for them, this is their value in their park. That's all I got.
Smart call. Very smart.
Yeah, smart call. That's,
you know, when the smart people line up behind your side, you can normally just sit back and fold your arms, put your feet up, and just bask in the goodness of being on the right side.
Yeah.
Which is what I'll do.
Yeah, I had my feet up, and you washed them. So, yeah, next caller.
It's actually not true. They were put in water, and they were rubbed with some sort of.
I don't want to relive it.
Shave.
I know
you
don't
want to relive it.
You don't want to relive it.
You don't want to relive it.
I don't want to relive it.
Get the truck out of here. You don't want to relive it.
Matt in Napa also agrees with you. Matt in Napa, thank you for the phone call. Floor's yours. Fire away.
All right. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I agree with Dibs on this for a first time only because baseball is about tradition. One of the greatest plays in baseball happened last year for the Tom Thumb Detroit Tigers, which was a walk-off bunt. What's more exciting than a walk-off bunt? You don't need home runs to win a game.
Thank you.
That's what it's about. But the second thing is, the numbers for people that go to those games are a little skewed. There was not 41,000 people at that game on opening day. I took my 2.5-year-old son to experience his first opening day game. No way there's 41,000. And like I said, baseball is about tradition. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
Wu-Tang. That's a new thing we're doing. After each call, we'll play the Wu-Tang drop because it's Wu-Tang
Wednesday. Yeah, I like
that. It's the first time, so don't worry about the – that's part of the thing now.
Joe, let me ask you this, and Lo, feel free to jump in as you see fit, and Anna, top rope, because you're the top rope queen. What's one of the most exciting moments in the career of Ichiro Suzuki?
The 3,000th hit?
That's definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. I would also add and inject into the mix the inside the park home run at the All-Star game that was held at AT&T Park, which is now Oracle Park.
I noticed you didn't give anyone else a chance to weigh in on a question where you said, feel free to weigh in.
I guess you really wanted
to get your answer out there, didn't you?
You could have jumped in. Top rope, of course, will always wait till the very end to bury whomever needs to be buried.
That's what I do.
Lo is abstaining for obvious reasons.
That is certainly one of the highlights of his career, yes.
It's an iconic moment, not only for the ballpark, but for our Midsummer Classic that we all hold so dear. If you take out Triple's Alley, you don't have the Steve Finley inside the park home run, the Ichiro inside the park home run. You got some cockamamie chain link fence. It's going to be an eyesore.
Cockamamie all-star game.
First of all, that's true. It's an exhibition.
And that's why no one really cared. He hit it and no one was really running because they're not going to get hurt playing in an all-star game. Newsflash, all-star game. So was it exciting? Yeah, it was exciting for an all-star game. What's the most exciting thing about the all-star game since we're getting there? The home run derby, Daniel.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. That's, I don't know. That was pretty exciting. That's a pretty good point right there.
First of all, the home run derby that year.
Lo just gave you what they call in WWE sweet chin music.
I will quote Draymond Green's mom, Mary Babers Green, and I would say you need a two-piece right now. You need a throat punch, which is what she said about some of the Golden State Warriors. This is true.
Yeah, that was an aggressive Mary Babers Green tweet.
Was that really needed this morning?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because it was an interesting tweet.
It was an interesting tweet, and I'm tying it all in here. I'm tying it all together.
It's hump day.
Put a bow on top of it.
It's Wu-Tang Wednesday.
Yeah.
We've been over this.
Okay. It's rebranded.
Yes, it's the day formerly known as Binglo Wednesday, and now it's Wu-Tang Wednesday.
Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang!
Thank you. Very well played. Very well done.
In the throat, huh?
Kinda.
That's what he said.
And then
them's fighting words.
And then a two-piece, and then we're on to Cincinnati.
I'm sorry, Coach.
I'm going to pray.
You might not like it, but you got to keep the mic on. You just want to do a little prayer? Okay, you can pray. I'll go to the people. He's going to get a little prayer in. We'll go to the people. Lee in Santa Clara. Lee, thank you for the phone call. The floor is yours. Where do you stand? Should the Giants alter the park, make it a little more hitter-friendly, or should they keep it as is?
Keep it as is. And here's why I say I've actually got some data that I haven't heard much in this discussion so far. I'm not going to put anybody to sleep, but it's kind of interesting. ESPN has what they call a park factor, and they look at home runs, doubles, triples, walks, and runs scored, and they just look at home versus road. So here are the top five home run ballparks last year: Cincinnati, Denver, Texas Rangers, Philly, and Washington. Okay? Here are the top five attendance rankings last year: Dodgers, Yankees, Cardinals, Cubs, and Giants. So there's no correlation between home runs and attendance. The other thing that's kind of interesting, the Giants ranked 29th out of 30 teams in home runs last year, but in the other four categories, it's actually a hitter-friendly ballpark. They're above average in runs, hits, doubles, triples, and walks. So if you have a bigger ballpark, guess what? You allow more hits. You got more space for the ball to fall in. So this is just a panic move by people because the roster stinks. They've got bad hitters. It has nothing to do with attendance. It has nothing to do with winning. So moving the defenses in is just a Band-Aid. They need to get better players, because the park actually allows more runs on average, and there's no connection with attendance. That's all I got, you guys.
Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang!
That was a sexy phone call. I like data. I don't know if everyone else does, but that was really well organized, laid out, and a lot of... You say data?
Yeah. You say data?
Great.
Data was a character on the show Deep Space Nine. It's data.
Data's also from The Goonies.
That's right.
Yeah. The little kid with all the gadgets.
Oh,
it was Data.
Okay. Okay. I had forgotten about that data.
Take that for data.
Thank you, Fizz. Coach Fizdale.
You know what? Perhaps it is trying to put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound, or it's the idea of trying to solve a problem but through a manner in which won't be most effective. The whole idea of altering the park to solve the lineup issues. You kind of see this with teams in all sports, right? the situation falls apart and the GM who's overseen all of it fires the coach. Arizona Cardinals, perfect example. Last year was a disaster. So Steve Keim comes in. He's like, no. Todd, what was the coach's name? I can't remember. Steve Wilkes. Wilkes was that coach. Yeah. They fire him after 1 year. They bring in Kingsbury. This is going to be the solution. It's not the solution. If you're Michael Bidwell, the owner, the solution would be cleaning house because you have a bad general manager. You're organized poorly from top to bottom, and as a result, you'll continue to make mistakes. This is what happens when you allow these bad GMs the opportunity to make 2, 3, 4 hires. You love the GM. He keeps bringing in coaches. It doesn't work. Yeah, the coach isn't very good. The coach, maybe it's the guy hiring the coach, right? You're making the wrong decision. Sometimes you make the mistake in trying to identify what the problem is, and that could be what we're faced with here. The lineup is just a bad lineup. It's not a homer-friendly ballpark is the excuse we're putting on that. But the reality is it's just a lineup that doesn't hit homers. Last year, we brought it up. They ranked 29th in home runs on the road. They hit 73 road home runs. So it's not as if they leave the park and suddenly they become the 27 Yankees by any stretch of the imagination. They leave the park and they are who they are. It's the same issue. I think part of the problem here is that this fan base lived through the greatest home run era ever. The most iconic home runs ever hit happened right down there. That place is synonymous with home runs. Synonymous with home runs. Everyone remembers the shot that the kid who was supposed to be going to Australia, but he had the layover, so he came down, he caught the record-breaking ball from Bonds out there in center, and then ended up making $1 million off that whole thing. Everyone celebrating, everybody going crazy. That ballpark has been associated with the home run from day one because of Barry Bonds. And ever since then, when you're not hitting home runs, suddenly you're blaming the park because we've seen ball players hit home runs, so it can't be the ball player's problem. It's got to be the park. Maybe we've just looked at this wrong the whole time. You're right. Maybe it's just a bad lineup and we're trying to put that problem on something else. We'll change the park around. That'll solve it. Will it? See, I was all for moving it in from the beginning, and now today's discussion, I'm starting to adjust. I'm starting to adjust a little bit. I don't know if changing. If it adds more home runs, I'm all for the excitement because that's what I want to see. Personally, I want to watch home runs. I'd like to see a 7-6 game over a 2-1 game. Now, that doesn't mean I can't go for a good old-fashioned pitcher's duel. Houston and the Dodgers 2 years ago in the World Series was one of the best World Series I've ever watched because it flip-flopped. One night you had Verlander out there winning 1-0, which I don't know if it's actually 1-0, but it was a pitcher duel. Right. And then the next night, there were like 15 runs put on the board. One night, it's a four-hour game. The next night, it's 255. They gave you everything in that series. Ultimately, variety is the spice of life. So I'd like to see more home runs. That's the side I skew with. But you're right. If you move the fences in and it generates 3 more home runs, at what cost?
Right.
At what cost?
At the cost of defaming and defacing a beautiful ballpark. You look at all the years that they've played down there at 3rd and King. There's been years where they've hit more than 200 homers, 235, when Bonds had 73, granted. But in 2010, which is more recent, they hit 162 home runs in 162 games. The reason why, they had actual power hitters on the team, such as Aubrey Huff, who hit 26. He was at the peak of his career as a power hitter. Juan Uribe had 24. Some guy by the name of Pat Burrell had 18.
Hey, what did I tell you about that? He didn't even hit 20. He didn't even hit 20. He was the number one overall pick. He couldn't even hit 20.
18, though, is a good year.
That's pathetic. That's pathetic.
Dan, that is. He had 18.
Yeah, low. And if you take Pat Burrell on this team right now.
What a low threshold you have. What a low threshold you have for success at the plate for a power hitter. 18 home runs get you all excited. I've been defending you all day, and you come out with that.
Is anyone on this team going to hit a Pat Burrell-esque 18 home runs? Are you going to get 18 home runs from anybody? Maybe Pilar. Is Belt going to get to 18?
Pilar is going to hit 40 as long as I keep betting against him. If I bet on him, he's done. He's going to go in the Chris Davis-like slump.
The point is, Joe, when you have actual power hitters like a Pat Burrell, an Aubrey Huff.
No, not like a Pat Burrell. He's not a power hitter. He was supposed to be a power hitter. He never lived up to that billing. If you want to use an example, use Bonds. That's the example. Don't give me Pat Burrell when you just said Aubrey Huff hit 24. You can use Huff.
Sandoval hit 13. Buster Posey hit 18. And Pat Burrell.
Pat Burrell and Buster Posey, both hit 18.
Pat Burrell had 18.
Wow. And Buster's not a power hitter. So if he's hitting the same amount as Burrell, that's more an indictment of Burrell than anything else.
Buster used to be a power hitter, but now with the hip, he's not really an average hitter right now either. But boy, can he throw out base stealers. Pat Burrell at 18.
Yeah, he's a real power hitter. Pat Burrell's last season, he hit 7. But don't worry, the year before that, he hit 2. 2 with Tampa Bay before being traded to the Giants. Then the 18 on top put him at 20. That's a big year.
He's got more career homers than any of these Giants.
In his prime, he hit 14.
What?
He's got 292 low for his career. So my point
is... Who cares? It's not a milestone.
292 club?
292?
He's in the 292 club.
That's like being in the 500 hit club. Hey, he got his 500 hit tonight. Who cares? Nobody cares about that. You care about 3,000 hits. You care about real-world milestones. I don't want to hear about your home run count until you get to 400. If you get to 400, then we can start talking. That's when we talk. 18 home runs for the number one overall pick whose sole job was to hit home runs. That's not worth talking about, except to talk about what a major disappointment it was in the eyes of everyone, including him.
Well, that year he did hit 18, Joe, and my point is that lineup is so far superior to this lineup, and they were playing in the same ballpark. So if you had Pat Burrell on this team, boy, would it liven up that lineup.
Where would you play him?
You play him everywhere, Coach.
You play him in center field. You play him at short.
Play
the
him
guy
left.
Can't move. You wouldn't play him anywhere. You wouldn't play him anywhere. He's a relic, a dying breed of overrated ball player. Hit 253 for his career.
Tell us how you really feel.
I just did. I literally just did that. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us on this Wu-Tang Wednesday. We have Rich Aurelia coming up at 8:30. Sean Doolittle makes his return to the program at 9:35. As always, you can hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. If you can't reach us on the phones, 888-957-9570. The conversation is as follows. Do you want to see the Giants make adjustments to the park to make it more hitter-friendly? Andrew Baggerly and Grant Brisby of The Athletic have the piece out now that apparently the Giants are willing to entertain this idea. Moving the bullpen, plural, from foul territory to triples alley, which would then bring the fence in that portion of the park in, which would then apparently make the park more hitter friendly. So we're not talking about massive alterations to the park, but significant nonetheless. This is something the fans apparently had clamored for a while, at least I thought. And then today, when we're doing our market research and we're laying out the case, it feels like a lot of people don't want it. It feels like a lot of people are just fine with how the park is, and they side with your take, Dibs, that it's the lineup's problem and that they should get more power hitters. And more power hitters will thus lead to more home runs.
Yes, and I think you think about some of the iconic moments at the ballpark out there in the sixth archway in deep right center. It's unique, and it's fun out there. You have to have good defensive center fielders because they have so much ground that they have to cover out there. And the Giants have been able to tailor their team to the ballpark in a way that maybe you don't need to hit as many home runs as other teams because you have good pitching and you have good defense. And I don't think that they should change that unique part of it.
See, I understand what you're saying. I look at it, it's still a long-term solution for a lot of your short-term problems. Short-term problems right now is they don't have it. I'm with you, Daniel. They don't have the guys on this roster that's going to hit the long ball. They don't have a lot of guys that can hit home runs. I get that. But the long-term, when I say it's a long-term solution, meaning that now you're going to have more guys willing to say, I'll come here. Why? Because now it becomes a hitter-friendly park. So the biggest thing, you look at a lot of guys that don't want to come because that's the narrative that's out there. So I get what you're saying, that the guys aren't there. Right now you don't have that. But why I say it's a long-term solution, because now you will have more guys in the future say, wow, they did move it in. Wow, I still can have I can hit more home runs. I still have the opportunity there, and it won't be as hard. So I understand now. But open your mind and don't just look so shallow. Don't be so obtuse. Think about long-term as well. Would it not help?
30 days in the hole for that. Would you call me? Shawshank. You can call me whatever you want.
Obtuse.
Of course. Yes. 30 days in the hole.
Tips, how could you be so obtuse?
How could you be so obtuse? I like what you're saying about long-term solution, but to me, ultimately, you're just creating other problems because the ballpark you have now is unique, and you can tailor your roster accordingly for that, not only now, but in the future. And ultimately, you're going to need to address the other problem no matter what ballpark you play in, which is a lack of power hitting.
Agree.
So, to me, moving in the fences doesn't solve any problem, short-term or long-term, unless you solve the other problem. It doesn't matter.
But why not long-term? When you're saying, now more guys who say, look at this place and say, wow, I still have, I'm going to have this much same. Now I'm going to have a more opportunity to hit the longer ball more because now it's not 400. It's going to be brought in. So don't you think that some guys would look and wouldn't that change the solution long term?
It potentially could, but you're also looking at things like, let's move the mound back then, and how might that change the game? Or if you lower the mound, or if you bring in aluminum bats. I mean, there's all these other changes you could say in the future would change the way you go about comprising your team in your ballpark. I think that it's too much of a reach.
Let's bring the people in. Milkman, Daily City. Milkman on the phones. What's...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.